Good evening. So my name is Pascal. I'm going to give you a short briefing about different events, different things we're doing. Basically talking about tragedy and hope, which is also the title of the next webcast that Lyndon LaRouche is going to give next Wednesday at, Wednesday at 1 p.m. We're going to be broadcasting it here in Ottawa. Also, LaRouche right now has just finished writing a paper on the presidential campaign, and in which he's discussing, all the candidates. And he's discussing Obama, McCain, Hillary, what they have of good in them, and what are their flaws, because they all have flaws. And because of the culture they come from, because of the situation which is right now rampant around the world, the global financial crisis, and their flaws are situated they're the same, the causes of this problem, in a sense. They're not necessarily the one that started it, but the way of thinking right now is not necessarily going to stop the crisis. There are some betters than others, but really what he's focusing on is not to try to destroy them, any of them, but just explaining what's the true situation and what's required for the United States to actually recover and for the world to recover. Because that's also, things that we see in the streets right now. Situation is, you have, the food crisis growing and growing. Last week there were a week and a half ago, there were 33 countries who had had food riots or different demonstrations in these 33 countries about the food. And right now the number is about 90 countries. So it's been increasing almost, not necessarily exponentially, but, threefold in about 1 week. So this is a situation worldwide which these candidates will have to actually address in the election right now if they want to have a chance to actually get the nomination. Also, the fact, if we can save the United States, then we can actually save Europe, which is kind of interesting also. Because you have a dynamic right now in Europe where the Lisbon Treaty is a new architecture for basically governing all of Europe, but without, maybe you can let people vote every 4 or 5 years, but really they're going to vote for what? All the policies in the new architecture of the Lisbon Treaty, you have a parliament, a European parliament, which is not elected. It's actually some, bureaucrats and people who are nominated, mostly, who decide for the policy of all the countries, I should say the regions, because there are no more countries under the Lisbon Treaty. So no more national sovereignty. And so that's one of the effect, which is one of the effect coming from the disintegration of the world economy since the 1970s, when they destroyed the Bretton Woods Treaty, which had been put in place by Roosevelt at the end of the Second World War. So the liberalization of the whole economy right now is destroying every nation, and every nation who doesn't comply with that is actually attacked. Like we see right now around the world, you have different nations who actually are trying to keep the food, put some taxes on exportation, ban exportations, and they're getting attacked for not being, fair play. They're not sending the food anymore to the global market so that the price can be fixed, in a fair way. Of course, the problem is the global market. the WTO, the World Trade Organization, which is kind of a vampire, or like we say for Al Gore, a serial killer, because it's the rice, it's the wheat, it's the they're killing people by controlling the access to food, and that's what they've been doing for the last 20 years. Actually, when we look at the production of food around the world in the last decades, well, it decreased. So we were saying that everything was going fine and, you know, everything for the best. But really, under these policies of liberalization, cartelization, well, the food supplies have diminished. And so we're hitting a point right now where with adding, you know, all these policies to destroy nation states and making sure that no countries have are self-sufficient in the production, and now using ethanol, using corn, using you know, whether it's sugar cane or whatever, to make some gasoline. So this is completely, you know, it's not efficient at all, and creating more starvation. So that's what we see, and we're at a boundary. Well, we've passed a boundary point where basically right now the system is disintegrating, and the policies that will actually get us out of there have to be addressing that particular issue of the global financial meltdown. So there's two factions right now at war with each other. You have the more pro-American faction, which we represent, and you have the imperialist faction, which is also at work. And that's how we can look at the world right now, given the different crises and how things interact. Because you have right now the stabilization, which is kind of an arc of crisis right now. You know about a bit Zimbabwe, hyperinflation for a while now in Zimbabwe, South Africa also, and all this region around Ethiopia, Sudan, Kenya. You go up a bit more northern, and of course Iraq. You have Iran, which is one of the targets now, but also continuing destabilization in Pakistan, where we have military forces, Canadian and British military forces, Pakistan, India, China, which we've seen with the Tibet issue, and also I don't know if everybody has received it, but there's a leaflet that we just produced on this question of the implication of the Canadian military in Afghanistan. Basically just dumping opium in China, using the Uyghur population, the Muslim Chinese population, which is just here at the border, and also, while going a bit, you know, off the Chinese territory, as, you know, a group which wants to create its own Islamic state, while using this ethnic population to get, the Chinese population all drugged up. That's causing a lot of problems. Because on the other side, what's happening also is that, well, President of Iran right now is touring the region of Pakistan and India, and just been to Sri Lanka to have a $1.4 or $1.8 million deal.
Is that a deal?
Iran. Ahmadinejad. Mm-hmm. He's been touring Sri Lanka. $1.8 billion. To basically build pipelines going, in Pakistan and India, and also to Sri Lanka for oil. So there is development. And there is diplomacy at work right now. We also see it with the late Carter in Syria, or in that region, Israel, Syria, and saying, well, you know, you should make peace. There's a good potential right now to make peace. The president or prime minister, president of Turkey also is mediating between Syria and Israel at the same time.
Prime minister.
Erdogan. And so you have these kinds of development, including Russia, including China, including Korea, where you have railroads development, which are very, very important, because it's going in the logic of what LaRouche has been talking about for a long time. This idea of actually, going back to a nation-to-nation agreement, basically putting globalization, putting free trade in the garbage bin, saying it's, you know, the invisible hand is a good, a nice thief, but, you know, it's not going to bring us anything more than that, than ruin, actually. And so we need an agreement with nation states. Hi, welcome. So we need an agreement with nation states, especially the United States, under a good president, you know, or a reform United States presidency, with Russia, with China, and India, to actually completely shift right now the political and economic system from a kind of a consumer and rapacious system to a producer economy. And so this is the four power alliance that LaRouche has been proposing for a long time. And so, and that basically these kind of diplomatic moves that we see in the Middle East right now, you know, represent to a certain extent. Now, of course, we have our job to do, make sure that this happens. And so right now in the United States, going back to the primary elections and all that, well,
money?
Oh, can you open the door? But right now we have a situation where we basically, right, we can shift the whole race, and our youth movement has been basically campaigning all around the United States, and we've seen it in Texas, we've seen it in Ohio, in New Hampshire, and in Pennsylvania right now. One of the campaigner, the Clinton, did follow actually the cities that had signed the HBPA by LaRouche. Now, just quick, the HBPA is the legislation which LaRouche brought in. It was in around September or August, around this area, where basically he said right now, facing a crisis worldwide, the United States has to totally reform the banking system it has, keeping the homeowners in their houses and keeping the banks open too, but reorganize the whole financial system, because it's right now it's full of crap, and so the debts will never be repaid. Well, this money never existed at first, so just get rid of it. And so that's the situation we're in right now. We're gonna have the webcast by LaRouche next week, where he's going to be, you know, situating this issue a lot more. And we're going to have also a presentation, like a series of presentation we're going to give at the end of the month of May. That's a kind of seminar that we're preparing right now. So we're going to be building up until then. But really the situation is that in Canada we're not safe with the food crisis. The food prices are going up everywhere. So even if there's food, we've seen it like the example of Zimbabwe, even if there's food, doesn't mean that you can actually afford it. So We've been mobilizing on this here in Montreal. We've been mobilizing on the street of Ottawa. And we're going to bring it everywhere because everybody has to be aware that there's a solution to that. You don't have just to buy the system, which is sinking. So I wanted to just introduce that, you know, a bit quick so that we can have Matt and then have question discussions about, because Matt is going to go more into detail of why the system is failing. So, I don't know if you have any questions, or, but I think could just like